My name's Geoff Rice. I was Professor of History at the University of Canterbury, and I wrote what I suppose is the definitive book of history of Victoria Square, subtitled Cradle of Christchurch, because it really was where a lot of things about the city started and have its beginnings. But I think the best place to start is right here by the bridge, the Hamish Hay Bridge, which dates from, I think, 1867, and it is the earliest stone and iron bridge in New Zealand. So it's very significant. It's the oldest heritage feature in Victoria Square now. They had to build a bridge here because Papanui Bush was the main source of timber for the early town. So building timber and firewood and stuff would come by bullock wagons down Whateley Road and over the river. So 1852 was when they built the first wooden bridge, and then it was replaced with what we see today in the 1860s. What makes this bridge historic is that it was the first cart bridge over the Avon. So before 1852, when the first wooden bridge was built here, you had to wade across, and sometimes up to your waist or more, to get across the river. And the early settlers described the river as very pure and very cold water. So getting across was a struggle. And a lot of people got drowned in this river, because, of course, in those days there was no street lighting until the 1860s. And people who'd been at the pub, because over on the opposite corner of Colombo and Armagh Street was the Golden Fleece Hotel, which was one of the very first hotels in Christchurch. And there were a couple of examples of people emerging drunk late at night in the dark and just falling in. So when the city was first designed and laid out by the surveyors, Jolly and Cass and Captain Thomas, of course, in charge of them, they slapped a grid pattern on what was a treeless swamp, basically, not quite a swamp. They chose this area as the driest grassland in the middle of it all. And it's also the point of highest navigation for whaleboats to bring goods up the Avon. So it was a logical place to choose. This area they designated right from the start as the Market Square, because English towns for centuries had always had what you call a periodic market, as a weekly market for produce where people could bring goods for sale to the local populace, but also where farmers could sell grain and establish the price of various commodities, the price of cattle, the price of sheep, the price of grain. So they had that in mind right from the start. And they put it here, I think, because there was already a trail that went up towards the northwest, which then became Whateley Road, as they called it, and now Victoria Street. But the marketplace was always intended to have public functions as well as commercial functions. And really the running theme or argument of my book is this constant tension and the shifting balance between public uses and private uses. And it went through different phases where initially as a marketplace it was mostly commercial. But by the mid-1850s you had the Provincial Council's Public Works Office and Yard, the Timber Yard. You had the first police station in Christchurch, the first jail in Christchurch. You had the immigration barracks to house arriving immigrants from overseas. You had a big market hall, which was where all the auctions and things took place. On the north side of Colombo Street were the first commercial stores. Charles Wellington Bishop had the first store in the city on that site. And next to it, he built a tiny little Tudor-style building, which was the very first post office. And from the doorstep of that post office was where they measured the miles. So this is really literally the heart of Christchurch. When the new post office was opened in Cathedral Square, the old post office was converted into a soup kitchen. And they fed hundreds of poor families through the 1880s depression there. And then finally, I think it was 1885, it caught fire and burnt down. So that was the end of the market hall. And that was when the city council decided that they would convert this into a proper public space, a public square. So they excluded the commercial activities from the middle of the square and converting the lawns. Two things really cemented it as a public space. That was Queen Victoria's statue in 1903 and also the flagstaff, which went up a bit later than that. And this became a centre for patriotic demonstrations. After the Boer War, there's the great height of British Empire patriotism, and the volunteers would parade here, all sorts of demonstrations and meetings and gatherings. When the Prime Minister, Richard John Seddon, died, I've got a photograph of the square completely filled with people listening to brass bands playing mournful music in memory of the Prime Minister. So it was an important civic centre for gathering. The Captain Cook statues later, that comes in the 1930s, and was the result of a committee which was set up in the 1920s, wanted to do something to commemorate Captain Cook and the first circumnavigation of New Zealand. And Cook was, well, like the Duke of Wellington, you know, really kind of a hero of empire. But the statue itself is very, very interesting because the committee was trying to raise money. And on the committee, there's this man called Barnett, and nobody really, probably everybody knew, but nobody was going to say, he was actually a bookie. And he was a very wealthy man. And so they were trying to scratch up contributions from the Navy League and various places. And he said, oh, I'll be blowed, and I'll write you a cheque for the whole amount. So gambling paid for the statue. But the great thing is that they commissioned a local man to carve it, William Trithewey, New Zealand's unsung Michelangelo, a very talented carver in marble. So they commissioned him to do Captain Cook. And he first of all made a clay model and then used that as a guide to carve the big block of Carrara marble brought out from Italy. And it is an absolutely superb statue. It's a really wonderful puppet, one of the best in New Zealand, I think. But in the 1980s, when the City Council decided to revamp the square completely, they decided to block off the road, so the road was abolished. And they decided to move the statues in line to make an axis from the crossing point of Armagh Street in Colombo, running through on the line of the bridge,